I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Hey, warm up from the low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast for you. Joining me in segment number two is Rob Donaldson. He does a great job with the show/podcast, Rob's Best Bet Show, and he's going to be joining me taking a look at all that we've got for Sunday and how he's been playing home run props this far this season. He had a nice Saturday on that front, so figured we'd poke his brain about how he's playing those and so much more. And then in the final segment, we're going to be looking at picks and analysis for every single game on the betting board for this Baseball Sunday as we touch them all. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /xtimeline at @jaden_d1. Keep in mind, Larzium, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. Then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Did not get in any old Twitter /X questions today, but we did have a great day of baseball on Saturday. Let's dive into it, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the Rowdy Recap.
Had a pair of doubleheaders on Saturday, and both of these were sweeps as the New York Yankees took two from the Cleveland Guardians, and the Minnesota Twins, they took two from the Detroit Tigers. For the Twins, they win in 12 innings in the first game by a count of 11-5. This was absolutely brutal if you had the under, as this game was 3-3 going into extra innings. Game goes to a 12th, and the Minnesota Twins put up a 7th spot in the 12th innings. Pair of home runs, Ryan Jeffers' third home run of the campaign, that comes off of Shelby Miller, and then and home run number one of the campaign, that comes off of Zach McKinstry, position player out coming to the game after Alex Lang. He just was unable to get out of this inning. 5 unearned runs, as Zach McKinstry actually made the fielding error that led to all those unearned runs in the 12th inning. Kenta Maeda was long gone by that time, who delivered a relatively good start. He gives up 2 runs, one of which was earned, so he does his part. From there, Tyler Holton, 5 outs out of the bullpen scoreless. Shelby Miller gives up that home run in 1/3 innings. Jason Foley, unearned run, is 2 innings of work, and then things go to mush from there as Gary Carpenter for the Detroit Tigers did go deep off of Joe Ryan, 2nd home run of the season. That comes in the first inning as Ryan from there would settle down. He does give up 3 runs, only one of which was earned. He was hurt by a pair of errors, punched out 12, and then Stephen Oakert, Griffin Jacks, Brock Stewart, I'll give you a scoreless inning. Ore Alcala, 2 innings, he gives up an unearned run, and Jake Jackson an unearned run. So that's how they were able to take game one. And then in game two, more conventional, 4-1. The Twins were able to get it done as you had a really good start from Simone Woods Richardson, who comes out, gives up one run over the course of 6 innings. Cody Funderburk, pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless. And then Cole Sands makes the Tigers pound Sands with 2 1/3 innings scoreless and a pair of home runs. Willie Castro, first home run of the season off of Matt Manning, and Edouard Julien gets home run number 4. Manning, he just had to sort of eat it in this one. 6 2/3 innings, he allows 4 runs, and then Joey Wentz in long relief. He goes for 2 1/3 innings scoreless. The New York Yankees were were able to do a nice job of being able to pile up the runs in game number two, as game number one, a little bit of a slog. They get the win by a count of 3-2, as for the Yankees, you had Oswaldo Cabrera be able to go deep for home run number 3 of the campaign, and the Yankees have continued to be your best under team on all of baseball. 10 unders, 4 overs with just one push as far this season. Carlos Cookie Carrasco gives up 5 hits, 5 walks, and 4 2/3 innings, but only allows 1 run. Nick Sandlin allowed that home run to Cabrera. 2 runs given up in an inning for him, but then Tim Aaron, Peter Cezalecki, Eli Morgan, they all lend a scoreless inning. Problem for the Guardians is that their bats could not get going. 0 of 9 with men in scoring position. Clark Schmidt goes for just 5 innings, but gives up just 2 runs, one of which was earned. He, too, walked 5, gave up 3 hits, so lots of men on the base pass. You had Ian Hamilton from there go for 2 scoreless innings. Caleb Ferguson, Clay Holmes, they both were able to supply a scoreless inning. And then game number 2, things went ballistic for the Yankees, 8-2. They're able to get the win. As for the Yankees, you had Juan Soto go deep off of Tristan McKenzie. His 3rd home run season for McKenzie, not long for this game. 6 runs, 5 of which were earned, given up in 4 innings. Wes Parsons, 2 scoreless innings. You had Gate Smith, Scott Barlow both provide a scoreless inning. And then Tyler Beede, he gives up 2 runs in an inning, but again, not a lot doing for the Guardians on offense. The former New York Yankee in Estefan Farrell, he was able to get his first home run of the season off of Cody Poteek, and then Ron Marinaccio, he gives one up to Josh Naylor. 4th home run season for Marinaccio, gives up a run in an inning. Poteet, very good start, gives up just 1 run over the course of 6 innings, and then Dennis Santana, he comes in, he supplies 2 scoreless innings of his own. The Milwaukee Brewers, they just continue to supply offense. 11-5, they take down the Baltimore Orioles, and for the Milwaukee Brewers, they have now scored at least 7 runs in 6 straight games, and at least 6 runs in 7 out of their last 8. Not quite what we were expecting out of the Milwaukee Brewers coming into the season. And for the Brew Crew, you had a start from D.L. Hall that was not necessarily so great. He gives up 5 runs over the course of 3 1/3 innings, including a trio of home runs. Ron Mountcastle, 2nd home run season. Jordan Westberg is 3rd, and Hadley Rushman is 1st. But Dean Kramer was far worse. 8 runs, 6 of which were earned, given up in 4 innings by him, including a pair of homers. Jake Bowers, 1st home run season. Reese Hoskins, his 3rd. And then from there, yeah, the bullpen do what they could, as Mike Bauman allows a run in 1 2/3 innings. Yuan Ramirez, he gives up 2 runs in 1 2/3 innings. Keegan Aiken, 5 outs out of the bullpen, scoreless. And for the Brewers, the bullpen was able to hold down the fort. Elvis Piguero, 5 outs out of the bullpen, scoreless. Hobie Milner, he gives 1 1/3 innings, scoreless, as J.B. Bukakis gives you a pair of outs out of the bullpen. And then Ryan Hudson, Joel Piamps, they're both able to supply a scoreless inning of their own. For the New York Mets, they just continue to give up runs to the Kansas City Royals. 11-7, the final. As for the Royals, you had Salvador Perez get his 4th home run season off of Sean Manea, who just did not have it on this day. He gives up 8 runs, 6 of which were earned in 3 2/3 innings. And then Cole Sulzer gives up 3 runs while getting 5 outs out of the bullpen. Jorge Lopez, pair of outs out of the bullpen. Jake Diekman, scoreless inning. And then you did have 2 scoreless innings out of Tyler Jay. So hip hip hooray for Jay. And for the Mets, they were able to get the power going. Pair of home runs from Pete Alonso, his 5th and 6th home runs of the season off of Alec Marsh and Anel Zerpa. And then you had a home run number 2 of the season for Starling Marte. Marte has a Marte Parte off of Matt Sauer, who comes in, gives up 2 runs, and did not get a single out. For Zerpa, he gives up a home run in his inning. Work Nick Anderson, James MacArthur, John Schreiber, they provide scoreless innings. And for Alec Marsh, gets a win, wasn't necessarily a sharp performance from him. 4 runs over the course of 5 innings surrendered by him, but Mets certainly have been getting online with regards to their offense, and it's a Royals team that now has played just 6 overs to 8 unders. I believe there's been a push along the way, but their offense, it certainly has been heating up quite a bit. The best offense in all baseball in terms of hitting you the over, that'd be the Atlanta Braves, and they were unable to get it done against the Miami Marlins on Saturday. As for the Marlins, they're able to get a 5-1 win. As for Atlanta, main form of offense, Marcel Ozuna was able to drive in a run, but that was about it. As Chris Sale sold 7 innings pitched, but gives up 5 runs, including a home run to Josh Bell, 2nd home run of the season. Max Meyer, he continues to be very solid for a Marlins team that has not had a lot of bright spots this far this season. He gives up 1 run over the course of 6 innings before Anthony Bender, Tanner Scott, Kelvin Faucher are all able to end a scoreless inning, landing a bunch of overs as well. The Cincinnati Reds, but they had no help from the Chicago White Sox on Saturday. 5-0, the Reds, they're able to get a very convincing win. As for the Chicago White Sox. They just had absolutely nothing going on whatsoever in this game. As for Cincinnati, they had Nick Lodolo come back for his first start in an eon. 10 punchouts and 5 2/3 innings scoreless. From there, Fernando Cruz, he comes in for 1 1/3 innings, punches out 3. Brent Suter, 2 scoreless innings. And for the Chicago White Sox, Garrett Crochet did not have it in this one either. He punches out 10 over the course of 4 2/3 innings. Problem was, he gave up 5 runs along the way. The bullpen, Dominique Leon, Joey Leisure, Michael Kopech all lined a scoreless inning. And then you do have 1 1/3 inning scoreless from Davey Garcia, but damage by then, it had already been done. The Toronto Blue Jays have been a cold team thus far this season, but you know what? They were able to get the job done in this circumstance on both the money line and the run line against the Colorado Rockies, this by a count of 5-3. For the Rockies, Brenton Doyle was able to go deep. His third home run of the campaign, that comes off of the young guy making his first career start in Yariel Rodriguez. For Rodriguez, he comes in, gives up, that's a home run in 3 2/3 innings, so not terrible there. And then from there, you did have Bowden Francis give up 2 runs in 2 2/3 innings. For Colorado, were unable to get the start that they were looking for out of Dakota Hudson, as he allows a home run, 5 runs in total over the course of 6 innings, going deep for Toronto. Dalton Varsho, second home run season. I believe that is his second home run in the last 7 days. Victor Vodnik, Jake Bird from there, they're both able to land a scoreless inning for Toronto. Their bullpen was rock solid as well. Chad Green, Yimi Garcia, Tim Mesa, they're all able to land a scoreless inning. And for the Blue Jays, it has been rough going for them on offense thus far this season. So they've actually been one of your halfway decent teams to the under thus far this season, though. The Philadelphia Phillies, they have also been very solid to the under, and they played another one on Saturday. 4-3, they're able to take down the Pittsburgh Pirates. As for the Buccos, you had Marco Gonzalez land a relatively good start here. He gives up 2 runs over the course of 6 innings. He does give up a home run along the way. His own Yel Cruz, he was able to get a home run of his own off of Spencer Turnbull, his third of the campaign. Turnbull goes 4-plus innings, gives up 3 runs, including that homer. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, a man that was able to slide the power, Kyle Schwarber, in the first inning off of Mr. Marco Gonzalez. That was home run number 3 of the campaign for him. From there, for the Phillies, the bullpen was very rock solid. Matt Strom, he's able to end 2 scoreless innings. Gregory Soto, Jeff Hoffman, Jose Alvarado, they'll give you a scoreless inning. And for Pittsburgh, you had Jose Hernandez not be able to hold on in this one. He gives up a run in a third of an inning. Meanwhile, Aroldis Chapman, unearned run surrendered in his third of an inning. As for the Philadelphia Phillies, they walk this off with Mr. Nick Castellanos being able to get an RBI single to be able to get that one to the window. Also being able to get this one to the window. How about the Boston Red Sox taking down the LA Angels, this by a count of 7-2 for the LA Angels. Yeah, Taylor Ward be able to go deep off of Cooper Criswell. 5th home run season for Criswell. Spent some time with the Tampa Bay Rays, first appearance with the Boston Red Sox, and he supplies a relatively good start, giving up just 2 runs over the course of 4 innings, including that home run. Greg Weiser, Josh Winkowski, they both supply 2 scoreless innings apiece. And then you did have Yoli Rodriguez give up a run in an inning for the Boston Red Sox. Tristan Casas, main form of offense in this one. He's able to go deep for home run number 3 of the season. That comes off of Mr. Griffin Canning. For Canning, he got canned, giving up 7 runs, 6 of which were earned over the course of 4 innings. Carson Fulmer in super long relief. He does walk 3, but he was able to get 4 scoreless innings of his own. So the Angels have been a little bit up and down this far this season, and so have the San Francisco Giants out there from the great state of California. 11-2 San Francisco. They get it done against the Tampa Bay Rays, as it was a hit parade for them. Therio Estrada goes deep twice for his 2nd and 3rd home runs of the campaign, going deep off of Ryan Pepiot and Chris Savinski. Pepiot gives one up to Lamont Wade Jr.'s first home run season. Ben Rovitt, the backup catcher, gives one up to Matt Chapman, 3rd home run season. And Jorge Soler goes deep off of Davinsky as well, 3rd home run of the campaign for Davinsky. Not the appearance he was looking for. Gives up a pair of home runs, 6 runs in total over the course of 2 innings. And Pepiot, he gives up 4 runs in 5 innings, including a pair of bombs. And Ben Rovitt, the backup catcher, 2 innings pitch, gave up just a solo home run. He was the pitcher of note that did the best for the Tampa Bay Rays on this day, and that's not necessarily too terrific. Meanwhile, for San Francisco, Logan Webb had it going on, giving up just 1 run in 7 innings. From there, you have Eric Miller, a land a scoreless inning. Nick Avila, he was able to come in for an inning, allowed a run along the way, but a nice win there for the San Francisco Giants. A very rock-solid win for the Arizona Diamondbacks as well. Cardinals have actually been your best team on the run line thus far this season. Unable to cover this run line, though. Arizona gets the win by a count of 4-2, as for Kyle Gibson, he allows 4 runs over the course of 6 innings, including homer, going deep for Arizona. Lourdes Gurriel, he was able to get home run number 4 of the campaign, while Ryan Nelson, who has had his struggles at home the last few seasons, he gives up just 1 run over the course of 6 innings. From there, Kyle Nelson, Four outs out of the bullpen, scoreless before Ryan Thompson does allow a run in two-thirds of an inning, but Kevin Ginkle, he holds down the fort, being able to get a scoreless inning in. Andre Pallante, Ryan Fernandez, they both supply a scoreless inning for the St. Louis Cardinals. And then for the Chicago Cubs, they go on the road, they get the job done against the Seattle Mariners. This by a count of 4-1. For the Cubs, you had a trio of home runs. C.A. Suzuki, home run number 3 of the season. Matt Bush, home run number 4 of the campaign. And Miguel Amaya was able to go deep for his first, as Emerson Hancock allowed the home run to Suzuki. For Hancock, gives up 2 runs over the course of 6 innings. Relatively solid performance there. And then you had Tyson Miller give up a home run in his inning of work. Austin Voth, he gives up a home run in his 2 innings as well. And for Seattle, they leave 9 men on base, and they just were unable to get anything going on offense, as Shota Imanaga, he comes in, gives up 1 unearned run in 5 1/3 innings. Mark Leiter Jr., 4 outs out of the bullpen, scoreless. Yancy Almonte and Edgar Alzolay, they both supply a scoreless inning. And Hector Neris, he gets an out of the bullpen, scoreless as well. Also being able to get a relatively good performance on this day, how about the Houston Astros, who have been scuffling recently, enter into the day 4-11, but they take down the Texas Rangers by a count of 9-2. And for Andrew Heaney, he was not long for this game. Gives up 4 walks in 3 2/3 innings, only allowed 2 runs, but it was Jose Ureña that Ureña'd all over the game. 5 runs surrendered in 1 1/3 innings, and then Austin Pruitt gives up 2 runs in 1 2/3 innings for the Astros. 9 runs, none of which came on homers, as you had Jordan Latz come in for 4 outs out of the bullpen, scoreless. Meanwhile, for the Houston Astros, it was just all about hitting with men in scoring position. 6 of 16 with men in scoring position, while Ronald Blanco continues to be the stopper for the Houston Astros. Gives up 2 runs over the course of 6 innings. Brian Abreu, Rafael Montero, along Sean Dubin, they're able to lend a scoreless inning, so Houston, they find a way to be able to get the job done. The Oakland A's are now 0-2 on the run line as a favorite thus far this season. They lose to the Washington Nationals by a count of 3-1. They had actually entered in having won 5 out of their last 6 games outright, and for the Nationals, they did not do the world's great job of hitting with men in scoring position, going just 2 of 12 with men in scoring position, but Mackenzie Gore was dealing. Only 5 innings in this one for him, but 11 punch-outs. Derek Law, Jordan Weems combined for a scoreless inning. You did have Robert Garcia along the way give up a run in his inning of work, but Hunter Harvey, Kyle Finnegan, they both are able to supply a scoreless inning, and for Oakland, Joe Boyle, ruled, but the problem was there was no run support around him. Gives up just 1 run over the course of 5 innings, but takes a loss. Kyle Mueller, 3 innings of long relief, gives up a run. TJ McFarland gives up a run in 2/3 of an inning, and Michael Kelly, he was able to go for an out of the bullpen, and after a really good start to the over to begin the season, the Oakland A's have been playing quite a few unders recently, so that has been something to percolate and something to take a look at. The LA Dodgers, they have been playing a lot of overs this far this season, but of course we make the DK Network ready to pick the over, and the San Diego Padres are not able to get to Gavin Stone. 5-2, the LA Dodgers are able to get the win, as for Matt Waldron, he gives up just 1 run over the course of 5 innings, and Gavin Stone had a no-hitter through 5 going before he does get touched up, giving up 2 runs in 6 2/3 innings. Michael Grove from there and out of the bullpen, and then Danny Hudson, Evan Phillips, they both supply a scoreless inning for the LA Dodgers. No home runs in this one. You had 8 in the previous game. Go figure there. But Tom Cosgrove does give up 3 runs in 1/3 of an inning before Adrian Morahone. He comes in 1 2/3 innings, gives up an unearned run. Fernando Tatis Jr. had an error out there in the field, and Johnny Brito was able to supply a scoreless inning of his own. And in terms of being able to supply to the under, I mean, my goodness, he had a lot of them on Saturday. 11 unders to just 6 overs. Overall for the day, you did see the favorites do a relatively solid job of cleaning up. They go 11-6 straight up on the money line, but for the season, if you've been betting favorites, it's been a little bit rough for you. 125-92 on the money line, that's about a 57.5% clip considering the juice you'd have to lay and be in a little bit of hurt right now, while road teams are 120-100 on the money line, hitting at north of a 54.5% clip, and overs still have a very slim lead on unders. 108 overs, 104 unders, and along the way, I believe we've gotten 12 pushes as well. So that's what we're seeing in Major League Baseball right now, and that's what we all got on Saturday. Coming up next, let's talk to Rob Donaldson of the Showslash Podcast, Rob's Best Bet Show, about what we can expect for Sunday, how he's been playing a lot of these player props, and so much more right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Visa Family Podcast.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, "Somebody's in the house," and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, "Somebody's in the house," and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Visa Family of Podcasts. Always great to be joined by this man. It's Rob Donaldson. He does great work with the show / podcast, Rob's Best Bets Show. That's over on YouTube.com/ Rob Donaldson. I know he does some great work over at Underdog Fantasy. He does nice work on the college basketball front, the football front, the baseball front. You name it, he does it, and you're able to follow him on Twitter / X at RobDFB altogether. And Rob, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, Greg. And as we just kind of talked about off the recording is, you know, we've had the Masters, we have UFC 300, we've had baseball today. It's just been an awesome Saturday and really just a great weekend for sports in general.
Yep, it has been a great week in sports, and it's been great for you the last few days, as I know you had a ton of home run props that were able to hit on Saturday. And when it comes to taking a look at these home run props, just how do you go about things, and how do you try to handicap some of these guys and take a yes on them being able to hit a homer?
Absolutely. There's a lot of different factors that go into it, and home run props the past 3 years for me have really just been honestly the ultimate moneymaker for me. But when you're kind of looking at guys to identify, you're wanting to target the guys who have hit hard balls over the last 6 or 7 games, just kind of using a short sample size and recent sample sizes at that. And then also just kind of looking at those hard hits and seeing, okay, have they already been rewarded with those hard hits for home runs? If they haven't, they're probably going to be rewarded at some point. And then it's just identifying the pitching matchups and seeing, all right, are they going up against a pitcher that can give up those home runs, and are the conditions right within the stadium to actually make that a little bit more possible? Once you've kind of compiled all those sorts of things, you can identify maybe 5-7 guys on every given slate, and it's just about picking the right ones.
I do think that that's so important to do. And when it comes to trying to break this down, how much do you take a look at like historical trends, like how guys in the past have performed against a certain pitch, or just for lack of a better term, fading perhaps a little bit of a younger pitcher, because I always think one of the most difficult things to do in baseball is look at some of these guys coming up from the minor league level, because it can be very much all or nothing with them.
Absolutely. Those are the guys who are going to be the highest variance. And, you know, even targeting guys who, you know, maybe are coming off of a rehab start or are making their first outings of the season. You look at Tristan McKenzie, for example. He's been getting shelled the last two times out. I do think as the season kind of goes on, he's going to be a very good pitcher because he's so talented. But those guys coming off those injuries are going to have a little bit of rust factor to them right out the gate. And oftentimes they kind of pay for it just in terms of bad location. Maybe the velocity is a little bit off and maybe just their overall sharpness isn't there. And that can definitely yield to some extra base hits.
Yep, it certainly can. And it's always fun to be able to dive in on those guys, as we have seen a lot of young pitchers get opportunities with all these pitching injuries. And just how have you been taking a look at totals thus far this season? Because I mentioned it, you were able to hit a bunch of home run props on Saturday. And typically when you've got a bunch of home runs, you probably have a bunch of overs as well. And I do feel like it's just one of these seasons where the hitters are perhaps a little bit in front of the pitchers, because it just feels like the pitching as a whole, whether it be starting pitching, whether it be a relief pitching, it just has had a little bit of a drop off this season.
Absolutely. Part of it too has been, you know, just the warmer weather that we've had in the early part of the season, because, you know, you kind of go back historically through MLB and look at March and April, it's not typically going to be in the 60s, 70s, or upper 50s. We're looking at maybe 30s and 40s and some wind and maybe some rain. And we've had a fair number of those types of games, but a lot of these have been fair weather temperatures or fair weather conditions for the hitters. I think that's actually playing a massive part. And I don't think that's something to overlook. And also, when you're just kind of looking at the teams who play in those, you know, shielded off domes, a lot of those teams have had a lot of early home stretches as well. And those are also the teams that typically smash the ball too. So I think there's a lot of factors that are kind of rewarding the offense early on here. And even just kind of early pitching rust is another factor to consider. But yeah, a lot of different things and a lot of different overs that I can kind of see hitting here.
Absolutely. As you're joining me on the show, we do have Rob Donaldson, who does great work with the show / podcast, Rob's Best Bet Show. And there's no doubt about it, you don't want to be making overly much the first two and a half weeks of the season. This is a long season, and teams that start out cold, they're going to get hot. Teams that start out hot, they're going to get cold. But has there been anything in general that has popped out to you, whether it be a team, whether it be a player, whether it be just a trend in general that you've been taking a look at and you've been maybe needing to change your tune on something from what you had anticipated coming into the season?
There's a number of teams that I think could definitely, you know, just rise this year in terms of not only the games that they're winning, but also just from a betting standpoint, could be raking in a lot of money. And the Kansas City Royals, I think I came on this show last week and kind of brought them up, but I just can't be more impressed with that team. They're playing small ball. They can steal bags. They can hit extra base hits. Their starting pitching has been fantastic. And when you have a well-rounded team like that, don't wait and kind of see whether or not it's for real. You know, jump on that train and ride it until the wheels fall off. And that's just kind of always been my perspective. Now, baseball is the ultimate do factor sport. So I do think there's a lot of, you know, different lineups, say for like the Astros, for example, and the Seattle Mariners, who, you know, maybe haven't been winning the games that they thought they would be winning so far, but those things are going to turn around. This is a very, very long season, and it's just about, you know, staying even keel, but also take some chances because you might get rewarded.
Yep, absolutely. And I do think that there is going to be some value moving forward on these underdogs, as favorites for the season entering into Saturday were only getting at about 56.8% on the money line. And you're typically thinking, oh, 56.8%, that's great. But when you've got minus 200 favorites, most of your average favorites, I would say around like minus 140, minus 150, that's not too great to say the least. So there has been some value on some of these underdogs. And I do think that there is going to be a little bit of dog appeal when it comes to Sunday as well. I do take a look at the board, and one game that really stuck out to me was the fact that Nestor Cortes and the Yankees are going to be about a minus 125 to a minus 135 favorite on the road against the Cleveland Guardians with a total of 8.5. I'm not sure how you're looking at this game, but I've picked up that the Guardians have really done a nice job of hitting lefties, which Nestor Cortes is. And I look at Cortes and the way that he's performed on the road, and this just feels like an unpalatable number.
Yeah, and even when you kind of factor in, and we'll see how this game two of the doubleheader plays out, but the Cleveland Guardians, as we are recording this, are down 6-0 in the fourth inning. And so if they do end up losing this ball game, while you're looking at the potential sweep on Sunday, I do think a team like the Guardians going up against the biggest brand in all of baseball are going to take a little bit of pride in coming out and swinging the bats. I think that's going to be a lot stacked against the Yankees here. And kind of like you said, I do think this is a lineup that can tag lefties. And you know, getting this nice little plus money, even taking a shot at maybe a plus one rounded number on the run line, I definitely think the Guardians have a little bit of value on Sunday.
No doubt about it. And it's been interesting to take a look at the Astros, who are currently dead last in the AL West. Not something I thought I'd be saying, but right now, Christian Javier about minus 120 to minus 125 against the Texas Rangers. How do you take a look at this matchup? Because for the Astros, I don't think that they're going to be ending the year behind the Oakland A's out there in the AL West. And I actually like what I've seen out of Christian Javier after he was awful in the second half of the year last year. He's been looking much better this season, but he's also going up against a guy, Nathan Eovaldi, who's just an absolute gamer and does not give out cheap walks.
Yeah, and I do think that the Astros are finally paying for just kind of getting so lucky with starting pitching talent over the years. And, you know, Ronel Blanco is a guy who's come out of the gates absolutely on fire and pitching great baseball for them, obviously. But at the same time, some injuries and even young guys who haven't made that next step in the development, you know, guys like Hunter Brown and JP France, who last year, I thought their underlying numbers were terrible, but they really were getting away with it for months and months at a time. Well, now we're seeing those guys get shelled, and I do think that they don't really have answers within their organization at this time. So I don't know how long this skid is going to last for the Astros, but I do think it could be prolonged until, you know, there's some roster construction or guys coming back from injury.
Yeah, but with the Astros, they need Justin Verlander back in the baddest of ways right now. It has been a little bit less than savory for them. But what is savory is getting on the show, one of our good friends, Rob Donaldson, right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And talking about a less than savory start for this team, the Toronto Blue Jays have not looked great, to say the least. Righted the ship on Saturday, won and covered the run line, and now they find themselves against the Colorado Rockies as a minus 245 favorite with a total of 8.5. It is Kyle Freeland on the mound for the Rockies. So question to you is, which of these less than savory options do you take a look at? Because the Blue Jays have been a disappointment, and the Colorado Rockies on the road are, well, the Colorado Rockies on the road.
Yeah, and what's kind of interesting about the Colorado Rockies is they actually have a number of bats who are projecting to do well if you're just kind of extrapolating their hard hit numbers and just kind of what they're actually doing production-wise, but it hasn't really accumulated to a whole lot of runs so far. So I do think, again, just kind of going back to do factor, when you have multiple guys, four, five, six guys in your lineup who are tagging baseballs and not getting rewarded for it, at some point, I do think there's going to be upside and kind of betting the Rockies for a stretch. And away from Coors, where they've had a lot of cold outings in the recent early going so far, I do think, you know, playing in a domed environment against a guy who's going to challenge you could be rewarding for them. So looking at +1.5, +2 at reasonable odds, even taking a stab at the money line at +200 with Cal Freeland, who is the ultimate wild card as a pitcher, I do think there's at least some value on the Colorado Rockies side. I mean, even a team total is worth a sprinkle as well.
And Jose Berríos has always pitched significantly better when he has been at home rather than away from home, but also with the Blue Jays bullpen woes as well, currently having out the full Jordan Romano along with Eric Swanson, I think it's something to keep in mind as well. And then something else to keep in mind is the fact that we've got a few teams that are going to be going at it on Sunday after a doubleheader on Saturday. We talked about the Yankees and the Guardians, but also the Minnesota Twins and the Detroit Tigers. They've had to play a lot of baseball this weekend, and it's going to be Bailey Ober against Captain Jack Flaherty. Relative pick'em game, the Tigers, slightest of slight favorites, around like minus 110, minus 112. How do you take a look at a matchup like this and a guy in Jack Flaherty that when he's on, and when he's off, boy, is he off. And I feel like we're able to say the exact same thing for Bailey Ober.
Yeah, absolutely. You nailed it. I think that there's could be so many runs flying off the board in this game. And so the over 8 is intriguing to me a little bit, but my only hesitation is also kind of part of what you said with Jack Flaherty, because that guy game to game can give you 7 innings of no earned ball, or he could be out by the third innings with 7 runs given up. And so when you're kind of looking at that and also kind of factoring in that the Twins have some of the highest strikeout rates from the offensive standpoint in all of baseball right now, I do think there's a little bit of a leg up here to the Tigers and even potentially to just their team total going over whatever it's sitting at right now. So those would be two angles I would definitely look at, is just the Tigers on the money line and even just the Tigers team total going over.
Yep, it is an intriguing one, to say the least, as for the Detroit Tigers team, the pitching has been tremendous. It has been a little bit lackluster in terms of the offense as far as well. And Rob, we do have ourselves a nice slate on Sunday. We've got all 30 teams that are going to be in action. We don't have any double dips or anything like that. Is there anything else that we have yet to touch upon that you're going to be taking a look at, whether that be a side total, a player prop or two, or just anything that is catching your eye in general?
Yeah, that last game, going on to Sunday Night Baseball with the Dodgers and the Padres, obviously a big-time matchup, and we'll see how tonight's Saturday game plays out in terms of the bullpen and just how the game flows. But the Padres might be fighting off a potential sweep on Sunday, and you know, going up against James Paxton, this is a guy, obviously, who's been around the MLB for a long time. But last time out, he was getting shelled and getting tagged. And, you know, if the Padres are facing a sweep here against their ultimate rival, it could spell some danger for Paxton. So when you're kind of looking at that over of 8.5 or even just the Padres on the money line or a +1, I think those are the sides I'm definitely targeting in that Sunday Night Baseball game.
Would not doubt it if we see some tire bullpens as well. The game on Friday went 11 innings, and we are doing this before we know the outcome of what happened on Saturday. But that said, you had a starting pitching matchup of Matt Waldron going up against our good friend Gavin Stone. That is not necessarily tremendous, to say the least, but what is tremendous is getting you on the show, my friend Rob. You do such a great job taking a look at this great game of baseball. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, and as always, Greg, thank you for having me on. It's going to be a fun summer all year long. And, you know, even this early few weeks that we've had so far, Major League Baseball has been a ton of fun as well. But for those who are wanting to follow my bets and interact with me on a daily basis, you can do so on Twitter/X at RobDFB. And then also on my YouTube, just my name, Rob Donaldson. And as always, Greg, really appreciate you having me on.
Always appreciate Rob. He does such a great job deciphering this great game of baseball every single time he joins the show. I feel like we gained some great wisdom, much like today. So big thanks to Rob for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Sunday as we catch them all.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball. This is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. It is always great to be joined by Rob Donaldson. He does great work with his show slash podcast, Rob's Best Bet Show. Every single time he joins me, he lends such good insights on this game that we all know and love. Should be a very interesting season moving forward, and we'll be sure to get on Rob quite a bit as he does an amazing job deciphering this game that we all know and love. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Sunday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter slash X feed at @unit_81, and we are going to be going in Las Vegas rotation order on this. We are going to be going with the National League games first, then the American League games. Any interleague games, those are going to be at the bottom. That'll keep things all nice, neat, clean, and easy. So without further ado, let's dive in on this first game. It is 9:51, 9:52 on the card. It is the Pittsburgh Pirates on the road facing up against the Philadelphia Phillies. Zach Wheelan and Dylan Wheeler is on the bump for the Phils, and Mitch Keller goes for the Pirates. The total on this game, it is 80, overs -115, unders -105. With the Phils, you're going to be getting them anywhere between -178 to -192, in the neighborhood of +155 to +165, that number on the Buccos right now. Initial run line that I'm seeing, if you lay a run half with the Phillies, you're able to get a +114, and I was willing to go to a +108 or higher. So now that we're above a +108, I'm going to be willing to take a shot on that Phillies run line. Zach Wheeler throughout his career has had a few struggles in the month of April, but he has been in very good form thus far this season. A sub-2 ERA did get touched up a little bit in that last start against the St. Louis Cardinals, giving up 3 runs in that one. Wasn't necessarily helped out by the fielding there, and has already been tagged with 2 unearned runs thus far this season. But all in all, I like the stuff that he's working with. He's gotten 20 strikeouts in 19 innings, has allowed just 2 walks, seems to be very dialed in. Meanwhile, for Mitch Keller, he was dealing with the velocity dip towards the beginning part of the season. Looked better in his last start against the Detroit Tigers, gave up 2 runs over the course of 6 innings, but still have some concerns there. He did fade towards back half of the season last year. It's backed up by a relatively solid bullpen, even with Ryan Borucki out of the fold, Roldis Chapman, David Benar. These guys have been rock solid, and I like what Colin Holderman is able to bring to the table as well. He's been rough thus far this season, but last year was able to post up a sub-390 ERA for this team. Jose Hernandez in the same neighborhood of that as well. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, this has been a bullpen that has been in a little bit of tough form to begin the season, but it does feel like Sir Anthony Dominguez, Jose Alvarado, they're starting to figure it out, and you've gotten some good production out of Gregory Soto as well. For the Phillies lineup, certainly has been up and down. A lot of guys have come out of the gates cold, as you had Bryce Harper have that 3 home run game, and past that he has done nothing all season long. Kyle Schwarber, though, was able to bust out yesterday with a home run, and he had a 3-plus hit game, so that is something that you do like to see if you're the Philadelphia Phillies, as kind of Castellanos, along with most of the guys at the bottom of the fold, like a Garrett Stubbs, who got the start yesterday, no doubt about it, Johan Rojas, Whit Merrifield, guys like this, they just have not been able to move the line, and for Alec Boehm. He's been able to get on base, but they haven't had a ton of power out of the seam thus far. I do think that that'll be coming moving forward, and Amando Sosa has been a nice find. Meanwhile, for the Pirates, they've got a lot of young talent, but you do have to question the consistency. Brian Reynolds, Cabrian Hayes, O'Neill Cruz, they have been a little bit up and down throughout the season. Cruz went deep yesterday, but the consistency with these guys, not there. Jack Swinitzki hitting below the Mendoza line of 200 along with Henry Davis. These guys have been a little bit disappointing as well, so just put you in an interesting spot. I do think that the Pirates are going to be able to get a few runs off of Zach Wheeler here, but I really just don't like the form of Mitch Keller, and with Ryan Borucki being out of the fold for that Pirates bullpen that used a lot of guys yesterday, I do think that you're going to be able to get a relatively high-scoring game here. Somebody told it at 8.3, so I do like the over, and with the Phillies willing to take a plus 108 or higher on that run line. 953, 954 on the betting board. The Atlanta Braves are on the road facing off against the Miami Marlins. Jesus Luzardo is on the bump for the Fish. Charlie Morton is on the bump for Atlanta. Atlanta's between a minus 145 to a minus 155 favorite. Plus 130 to a plus 135, that number on Miami. 8 to 8.5 is the total on the 8. Over is minus 115. The under is minus 105 on the 8.5. Under is minus 120. The over is even. I set the Atlanta Braves at a minus 143 on the money line. If you're looking to lay a run half, you're going to be getting right in that neighborhood about a plus 110 or so. So does put me in a little bit of a bind here if we can get down a few more cents, which I'm thinking that when the dime lines come out here in Las Vegas, I should be able to get right around about a minus 142. So right now, looking at a chalkier Braves money line, but that is a little bit of wait and see mode because there have been a lot of people wanting to fade the Miami Marlins. And if we could get a plus 145, that'd be something that I'd be looking at because Jesus Luzardo is really the top guy for this Miami Marlins team, even though he hasn't pitched like it this far this season, coming off of a terrible start against the New York Yankees. And for Jesus Luzardo, just in general, he has been a completely different pitcher when he has been in Miami rather than on the road. Last season, he posted up a sub-3 ERA, was giving up less than a home run per 9 innings at home. In starts that were made away from him last season, he had more like a 440 ERA, so I do think that that is something to be mindful of. He still is able to get strikeouts, about 10.5 punch-outs per 9 innings since the beginning part of last season. Meanwhile, for Charlie Morton, still been able to get swings and misses, even though he's at an advanced age of 40 years old, was still getting about 10 strikeouts per 9 innings last season, but Charlie Morton was quite a bit lucky last season, and you do have to wonder if things are going to be coming to a head for him, like we've been seeing with a lot of these pitchers for the Atlanta Braves early on during the season. As Charlie Morton a season ago, his ERA was a 3.64. Fielding independent, more in that neighborhood, about a 3.87, as he was giving up about 4.5 walks per 9 innings, was very much able to get those swings and misses, was able to keep the ball in the yard, but was putting a lot of guys very cheaply on base, and his fly ball to home run ratio was just absolutely unreal. You've got an Atlanta Braves lineup that certainly is going to be able to supply the boom in this one. You've got Marcel Ozuna already at 6 home runs to start of the season. Ronald Acuña Jr. has been struggling a little bit. He's been finding it a little bit more in this series, but has as many home runs as myself, but Ozzy Albies, Austin Riley, Matt Olson, Michael Harris II, all these guys are in at least a 259 with at least a 333 on base with multiple home runs. I mean, this lineup is beastly. Jarred Kelenic is finding it in for the Miami Marlins. Other than Jake Berger, you really don't have a lot of power. You've got Berger giving you 3 home runs, Josh Bell as a pair as well, but don't have a lot of guys moving the line with Luis Arraez, just not where he was a season ago, hitting about a 260, which, I mean, for a normal player, that isn't bad. You have Brian De La Cruz and Anderson both hitting in the neighborhood about a 275, but the outfield with Nick Gordon, Avisio Garcia, Jesus Sanchez, all hitting below a 200. Nick Fortes not giving anything at the plate. That's rough. Now, if you look at the advanced numbers, the Marlins are having an expected batting average about 30 points higher than their actual batting average, so we should see some positivity for this lineup moving forward, but this is a very, very bad bullpen. Tanner Scott has been okay over the last few seasons. And Luis Scarborough's open. He's not terrible, but Sixto Sanchez has been a mess. George Soriano's a nice long guy, but they don't utilize him too much. Birch Smith is someone that you don't want to have a lot of faith in, and for the Atlanta Braves, Pierce Johnson, ever since he was pretty much DFA'd by the Padres / Rockies, he's been rock solid in this bullpen. You've had Tyler Mancic, AJ Minter get off to a rough start, but I like what Jesse Chavez is able to provide as well. So, waiting on a little bit of line move, but at a minus 142 or less, I'd be willing to ride with Braves on the money line, and I do think that you get runs in this game. Semi total at 8.7, so regardless of if you have an 8 or an 8.5, I'm going to add the over to go along with most likely the Braves right around about minus 142 or so. 955, 956 on the betting board. The Arizona Diamondbacks play us to the St. Louis Cardinals. Miles Michaelis goes for the Cards, and Zach Allen is on the bump for Arizona. Arizona is between a minus 145 to a minus 155 favorite, between plus 130 and +135, that number on St. Louis. 8.5 is the total. Overs between -110 to -120. Unders between even and -110. Set the Diamondbacks at a -172 on the money line. You're able to lay a run and a half for a +140. And typically, when it comes to these sorts of spots, I'd rather lay a chalkier money line. But I'm going to be willing to lay this run line because Miles Michaelis is a guy that I just have absolutely no faith in whatsoever. For Michaelis, he does a nice job not issuing a lot of walks or anything like that. He really doesn't lose command, but he just gets banged around like a pinata. He's at an advanced age, and he just gives up a lot of contact in general thus far this season. He's given up just 2 home runs in 17 innings, but he's just not getting a lot of swings and misses, not keeping guys off guard at all. And I do think that this Arizona Diamondbacks lineup, which has been very good to begin the season, averaging going into yesterday darn near 6 runs per contest at home, I think that they're going to be able to get to him, as you've got Eduardo Suarez, Christian Walker, Ketel Marte, Lourdes Gurriel, all hitting at least a .273, all with at least 2 home runs as far as the season plays. Alexander is hitting above .300. He's been able to go yard a few times as far as this season. Corbin Carroll has been off to a little bit of a rough start to the season. You know that he's not going to be staying down long, so that's going to be big for this bunch. They've been able to do a nice job of having even guys like Gabriel Moreno find a way to move the line. Now, if you do have trepidation with the Arizona Diamondbacks, for one, you do have a bullpen that's a little bit less than trustworthy. I like Ryan Thompson along with Kyle Nelson in this bullpen, but it's at Luis Reyes, Miguel Castro, Joe Mantiply, not necessarily the world's greatest. And for Zach Gallen, velocity seems to be coming back a little bit, but his velocity dipping towards back half last season and him throwing just north of 240 innings in general, it does have to leave you with a little bit of caution. Did have, though, 10 strikeouts in that start against the Colorado Rockies in Coors Field. Wasn't his fault that team really couldn't provide a lot of offense, and goes up against a Cardinals lineup that has had a tough time generating offense when they've been away from home. At home, it's been a little bit better for them, and I do expect a lot of positivity moving forward. On Friday, that might have been the turn of a little bit of something, but Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, these guys just have not been able to go deep this far this season. I have to wonder if they're getting a little bit long in the tooth, but I still think that they've got plenty left in the tank. But entering into yesterday, Goldschmidt hitting below the Mendoza line of 200, Arenado stuck on 1 home run. It's really been Nolan Gorman who's been able to supply the more boom, not necessarily hitting for average, but 3 home runs. But I think getting back Lars Nupar going to be big for this team. Could use a little bit more out of a pair of guys in Victor Scott, Jordan Walker, hitting below the Mendoza line of 200. But Mason Wynn has honestly been a nice find for this team as well. So puts you in an interesting circumstance with the Cardinals just not having a lot in the bullpen as well, because you've had Ryan Helsley be a all-star reliever in the past, and I'd like the pickup of Andrew Kittredge, but these are the only two guys from a season ago that had a sub-3.5 ERA. Jojo Romero could be a little bit of a roll of the dice. Giovanni Gallegos has had some success throughout his career, but it's been up and down for him. So, circumstance where I do think that you're going to be able to get some runs in this game. I set my total at an 8.6. Arizona seems to be playing very much of the hitters thus far this season, so looking at the over with the Diamondbacks, wanted to take a plus price on that run line. Anything of a +118 or higher, wanted to roll with the Diamondbacks to go along with this total over. 957, 958 on the betting board. The San Diego Padres, they're facing off against the LA Dodgers. James Paxton goes for the Dodgers. Yu Darvish is on the bump for the Padres, and the Padres are sizable underdogs between +136 to +142, anywhere between -155 to -164. That number on the Dodgers, 8.5 is the total. Over is -120. The under is even. If you're looking to lay a run half with the Dodgers, you're going to be able to get +130 on it. And for the Dodgers, I set them more around a -163 on the money line, but I'm going to be willing to take that run line. For the LA Dodgers, they have won all but 35 of their games since the beginning of the 2022 season during the regular season by multiple runs. And if you take a look at it, they've had 221 wins in that time span. So they either win by multiple runs or they lose outright. And I like what I've seen out of James Paxton thus far. He did have the 5 walks in that first start against the San Francisco Giants, but he is able to give you some nice swing and miss stuff, has dealt with injuries all throughout his career, or else he would be very much more a prevalent pitcher. But I do think that he's going to be able to keep the Padres a little bit more off kilter. It's a Padres lineup that has been able to do a nice job away from home. They are averaging about 5 runs per contest when they do step away from San Diego, as Fernando Tatis Jr. has already belted up 5 home runs as far this season. Then a pair of guys in Jake Cronenworth, Jurickson Profar, having big seasons going into yesterday, both with multiple homers, both hitting north of a .295. Jackson Merrill at the top of the fold has been able to hit about a .300 as well. Now, the catcher spot with Luis Capusano has been tremendous. They did have to give Kyle Higashioka a start yesterday. That's not necessarily where you want to be, but all in all, it's a Padres Rays lineup that has been able to do a solid job moving the line, and the Dodgers, they're just the Death Star. Mookie Betts, Teoscar Hernandez entering into yesterday, a combined 11 home runs between the two of them, and each of your top five hitters for the LA Dodgers entering into yesterday had a batting average of about 290 or greater. Now, Bonfo, Kike Hernandez, Gavin Lux, James Altman, these guys need to pick it up a little bit, but I mean, it is a Dodgers lineup that is one of the best at being able to draw walks, and really both of these teams were in the top three last season in terms of walks drawn on a per at bat basis. This Dodgers bullpen has been a little bit up and down to begin the season. Ryan Brazier, after he was so good last season, he's had his issues along with Joe Kelly, but that said, Alex Vesia, he's a relatively solid option along with Danny Hudson. This Dodgers team has dealt with so many injuries. A Blake Treinen injury has been absolutely killing them. JP Feiereisen is someone that they kick the tires on as well. I know that he's been just dealing with injuries in general. Was very good when he was with the Tampa Bay Rays a few seasons ago, so we'll see if he's able to reacclimate himself. And for the San Diego Padres, this team is in the bottom 15 in the big leagues with regards to their bullpen ERA as well. Johnny Brito has been absolutely terrible for the team. Yuki Matsui, Stephen Kolek might have a little bit of upside, and I like Wandy Peralta, Angel De Los Santos, but you lose from the offseason Josh Hader as well, and I do think that that's going to be hurting them, along with the fact that Yu Darvish has just been a little bit all over the place this season. His first start against the Los Angeles Dodgers only gave up one unearned run, but he walked three. That was in that Seoul series, and his last two starts, a combined 7 runs allowed over the course of 10 innings, hasn't necessarily been taken deep, but command has not been there. Feels like he's getting up there in years, about 37 years old. The swing and miss stuff might be starting to wear down just a little bit. Has had a few struggles since going to San Diego when he's been away from home. His road ERA with the Padres is about 1.5 higher than it is at home. So I do think that the Dodgers are going to be able to hit him up. I do think that this is going to be a higher scoring affair. I did set my total at an 8.8. I do like the over on with the Dodgers. They have a knack for being able to win games by multiple runs. I'm willing to take a plus 110 or higher with that run and a half, laying it with the Dodgers, and going to be taking a look at the over. 10.59, 9.60 on the betting board. The LA Angels hit the road to face off against the Boston Red Sox. Brian Bello goes for the Sox. Tyler Anderson is on the bump for the Angels. Angels are a plus 110 to a plus 120 underdog, anywhere between minus 125 to a minus 130. That number on Boston, 9.5 is the total. Under is between minus 110 to a minus 120. Over is between even a minus 110. I did make the Boston Red Sox a favorite of minus 154. I am going to be willing to lay it. With Brian Bello, I've been so impressed by the way that he's been able to utilize that changeup over the last few seasons. It feels like he's able to induce a lot of weak contact and just keep guys off balance in general with it. For Bello thus far this season, it's been a little bit up and down. He's been able to go out there and has been able to do a nice job of being able to work on the walks that were not a bad issue last season, but you tell early on in his career, he was giving out a few too many of them last year. He had about 7.5 strikeouts to 2.5 walks per 9 innings. Hasn't gotten a ton of swings and misses thus far this season, and has also been hurt by the fielding. He's given up 2 unearned runs thus far this season. Some of the earned runs, I would argue that they were impacted a little bit by the errors as well, but I do think that he's going to be able to go out there and sling a relatively good performance, as he's actually been able to perform quite well at Fenway throughout his career. Meanwhile, you've got a guy in Tyler Anderson who he has given up no runs in 14 innings across his 2 starts, has walked just 3. Now, he's been the beneficiary of some very, very soft contact, and was he unlucky last year? Yes, last season he posted up an ERA that was well north of 5 with the LA Angels. Biggest thing for him is that he was a pitcher contact guy that was giving up darn near 3.5 to 4 walks per 9 innings. You just can't have that. A strikeout to walk ratio that is sub 2. When he was with the LA Dodgers 2 seasons ago, his walks per 9 rate was sub 2, and it feels like the command is back. He's been a little bit fortunate on balls in play, and now you have to go into very much a hitter's ballpark in Fenway, which is a little bit colder this time of year, but Tyler O'Neill, he has been very caliente. He's got 6 home runs, providing north of a 400 on base, and Tristan Casas, after he was hot to end the season last year, 3 home runs is a solid job moving the line, but you need some of these young guys to pick it up. Jaron Duran has been tremendous, hitting above a 300, but the likes of Emmanuel Valdez, Sadine Rafael, Pablo Reyes, hitting below 200, that's an issue, as is Rafael Devers. He's provided 2 home runs and about a 320 on base, but he's only hitting a .184 overall, and this is a Red Sox bullpen that you do have your trepidations with, but Chris Martin, Kenley Jansen, they're relatively solid in their roles. As long as Kenley Jansen is not on a big, like, primetime stage, typically gets the job done for you. Josh Winkowski is someone that's able to fill multiple innings, and still very much on my question marks in terms of the LA Angels bullpen. They're looking to a lot of records. reclamation projects like Hunter Strickland, Adam Simber, Jose Cicerno. I actually do like what Carlos Estevez and Matt Moore have been able to provide this team, but Carson Fulmer, that's another blast from the past. That's not great. And for the LA Angels, it's just a very top-heavy team in general. Mike Trout has been amazing. He's given you 6-plus home runs. He's doing a great job being able to move the line. And Taylor Ward has provided 5 home runs as well. He's off to a really nice start to the season. But you look outside of those two guys, other than Logan Ohapi. Logan Ohapi does not deserve any slander. Everyone else in the starting lineup yesterday, excluding those three guys, hitting a .207 or lower. Guys like Anthony Rendon, Miguel Sano, Zach Neto, Aaron Hicks, you just need more out of these guys. And I do think that the overall balance of Boston is going to rain through. And I do think that Tyler Anderson is improved from what he was a season ago. But that said, I do think that we're going to see a little bit of regression here. I did set my total at an 8.7. The conditions aren't necessarily great out there in Boston. I do think that both Mayo and Anderson are going to be able to induce some nice soft contact here. So it is a circumstance where I'm going to be willing to take a look at this total under, and I'm going to be willing to ride the Red Sox on the money line. 961-962 is the DK Network right to pick. The New York Yankees are on the road facing off against the Cleveland Guardians. Logan Allen goes for the Guardians. Mr. Nestor Cortes is on the bump for the Yankees, and the Yankees are a favorite of any between minus 128 to minus 135, plus 114 to plus 124 is your number on the Guardians. 8.5 is the total. Over is minus 115 to minus 120. The under is any between minus 105 to minus 110. Right up here is on the Guardians. Right now, find them right around plus 115 to plus 120. I felt like they should have been minus 115. I think that this is a case of the wrong team being favored, so my right up here is going to be on that Guardians money line. I have big-time trepidations with Nestor Cortes, as he missed much of last season due to injury, and him this season has been just night and day different when he's been at home rather than away from home. Coming off of a really nice start, a shutout start last time out against the Miami Marlins, but if you take a look at what he's done on the road since beginning of the 2023 season, he has been issuing 3.75 walks and 1.5 home runs per 9 innings with a 5.75 ERA compared to a 3.77 ERA with 1.8 walks per 9 innings when he has been at home. Going to get someone in Logan Allen, he's been solid ever since getting called up to the big league level. Not great, not terrible. In his career, about a 3.89 ERA, 4.17 fielding dependent. Gets about 8.5 strikeouts, 1.1 home runs per 9 innings. If you're looking for like your average starter, there you go. But average is going to be good enough, in my opinion, for the Guardians, who entered into Game 2 of the double dip yesterday with the best bullpen in the big leagues with a .53 ERA. Now, probably hiked up a little bit after you had Triss McKenzie not be able to hold down the fort very long for the Cleveland Guardians. But on top of that, when the Guardians have faced off against left-handed pitching, they have been absolutely tremendous, as that was going into Game 2 of the double dip, but they were hitting 300 against the lefties going into that Game 2 yesterday. You've got a lot of guys that are just finding way on base. Josh Naylor, Stephen Kwan, Andres Jimenez, Dylan Frey, these guys are all hitting above a 300. Guardians aren't going to provide a lot of power. They were last in the big leagues in terms of home runs last season. I think they're going to be a little bit better this year with Naylor squared, Jose Ramirez being able to provide a little bit of power, but this is very much a team that is going to draw their singles. They're going to just find a way to be able to move the line going against a Yankees lineup that has had a few guys have been scuffling in Aaron Judge, Alex Verdugo, Gleyber Torres. Now, you've had a lot of hot bats as well. Anthony Volpe, Juan Soto, both of these guys north of a 4-arm base. Soto goes deep yesterday in game number 2. Anthony Rizzo looks like he's getting back to his old form as well. And as Waldo Cabrera has been tremendous for this team as well. For the Yankees, they are a top 10 team as well in terms of bullpen ERA. Like what you're able to get out of the likes of Ian Hamilton, Victor Gonzalez. It's a little bit of a roll of the dice when you do have Clay Holmes in the closer role. But when he's on, he's on. But I do think that for Nestor Cortes, his issues on the road are going to be popping up. And I do think that the Guardians, they continue to hit lefties. My DK Network right to pick, that is going to be on the Guardians on the money line. Willing to lay up to a minus 115. I did set my total at an 8.7. So here at the 8.5, I do like the over, and my write-up, that is going to be on the Guardians. 963-964 on the betting board. The Minnesota Twins hit the road. They're facing off against the Detroit Tigers. Captain Jack Flaherty is on the bump for the Tigers, and Bailey Ober is on the bump for the Twins. And this is a relative pick 'em game with the Detroit Tigers. They're between minus 105 to minus 112. Between minus 105 to minus 110 is that number on Minnesota. 8-8.5 is the total on the 8. Over is minus 118. The under is minus 102 on the 8.5. Under is minus 110 to a minus 120. The over is any between even and minus 110. And I did set the Tigers at a minus 131. I'm going to be looking at them on the money line. I've got just so much reputation right now with Bailey Ober. Ober does a nice job not issuing a lot of walks, and his swings and misses have not been too bad recently. He has been able to get in that pocket about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, dating back to the beginning of the 2023 season, but His home runs per nine rate really since the back half of last season has been absolutely awful. If you take a look between the 2023 and the 2024 campaign, he is giving up well north of 1.5 home runs per nine innings. His walks per nine rate, once again, very rock solid, but he's got a fielding independent that is well north of four ever since beginning part of last season as well. So to have my struggles in being able to back him there, and for Jack Flaherty, this is the ultimate roll of the dice. For Jack Flaherty, when this guy is on, he is absolutely tremendous, and he's one of the most lockdown pitchers in the big leagues. I wish I could put it any other way. It just feels like sometimes he forgets how to pitch. I mean, he's got 12 strikeouts in 12 innings as far as the season and has only walked one. But for Jack Flaherty, first start of the year, he looked tremendous against the Chicago White Sox and then got shellacked against the Oakland A's. That's just what you're going to get out of Jack Flaherty. But I do think that the Tigers do back him up with a very good bullpen. And considering that they played two yesterday, I do think that this bullpen is going to do a very nice job of holding down the fort just because they've got a little bit more depth in general. You don't have that one guy that's going to absolutely light it up for you, but guys like Shelby Miller, Jason Foley, Alex Lang, Andrew Chafin, Tyler Holton, these guys have all supplied a sub-250 ERA this far this season. I like Boves as well, and Yoan Duran, the main closer for the Minnesota Twins, is currently out of the fold, so Cody Funderburk, Jorge Alcala, Griffin Jacks, guys like this need to hold down the fort, and I did like the pickup of Stephen Okert as well, so I do think that both of these teams are going to be able to do a solid job on that front. For the Twins, credit where credit is due, they were able to erupt in the 11th inning in that game yesterday against the Detroit Tigers, but this has been a lineup that has been very inconsistent in terms of getting on base. Carlos Correa, Alex Kirilloff, both of these guys hitting above a 300, but if you look at the Game 2 lineup that they tried out there, other than Kirilloff, who was hitting a 300, nobody else had saw at bat in that game hitting above a 238. Like, that's a big, giant issue. Eduardo Juliana has four home runs this far this season, but you don't have guys moving the line, and I wish I could put it any other way, but when Royce Lewis isn't out there, they get zapped of their superpowers, and for the Detroit Tigers, lots of slow starters for this team as well. Spencer Torkelson is hitting a 300. He's provided no power whatsoever. Javi Baez is right now a giant waste of money. He, Jason Rogers, Carson Kelly, Keith, the second baseman. We'll go down the list of guys hitting a 225 or lower. It's rough. Riley Green has provided some power, but he's not necessarily doing a great job of being put back to ball as well. So even though both of these starters do have their issues, I did set my total at 7.8. I just don't think that these offenses are going to generate a lot of offense. So looking at the under, have a little bit more faith in the Tigers' bullpen. So riding with the Tigers on the money line to go along with this under. 965, 966 on the betting board. The Houston Astros play host to the Texas Rangers. Nathan Eovaldi is on the bump for the Rangers. Christian Javier is on the bump for the Astros, and the Astros are between -115 to -125 favorites. They're between +105 to +110 is that number on Texas. Nine is a total, under is -120, the over is even. Been a rough start to the year for the Houston Astros, but I did place them as a favorite in this spot of -126, so -125 is the max I'm going to be willing to lay, but I'm going to be willing to lay. Christian Javier was miserable in the back half of the season last year. It feels like he's got that electric stuff once again this season, and I do think that the Houston Astros are going to be able to get online a little bit more. Against the pitcher Nathan Eovaldi, he can give up his hard contact from time to time. With Eovaldi, you know that you're going to get a lot of command with him last year prior to him getting injured, and if you separate out that month of September where he wasn't great, he was only giving up about two walks per nine innings this far this season. Four walks in 18 and two-thirds innings, getting 19 strikeouts. He has been rock solid, but how about Christian Javier? 13 strikeouts in 16 and a third innings. The strikeout numbers are down, but he's been able to do a nice job mitigating hard contact. Now, there are a few warning signs with Christian Javier. He's always had a little bit of a tough time with regards to command. He is giving up north of four walks per nine innings thus far, and it has been a case where he has been a little bit shaky with regards to the command in the last two games, especially with eight walks in that time span, but he's been one of the few guys for the Houston Astros that have been able to give you some good innings. And if you get to the back half of the Astros bullpen, you've got Ryan Presley and Josh Hader. They've been a little bit rough to begin the season, but these two guys are able to lock it down. You've had Rafael Montero, who did come into the game yesterday, be very solid for this bullpen, as well as Brian Abreu. And then for the Texas Rangers, it's a fortified bullpen from a season ago. It's still not amazing, but you're able to bring in a pair of guys, Kirby Yates. You're able to bring in as well David Robertson. They've been able to hold down the fort, so I do like what they're able to bring to the table. And for the Texas Rangers, offense is right now in much better form than that of the Houston Astros, despite the fact that the Astros were able to get the job done yesterday. But for Texas, you know that guys are going to be able to get on bases. At the top of the fold, you've got Adolis Garcia, Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, all guys hitting at least a 279, and all these guys were able to supply 25-plus home runs. A season ago, it's Ben Garcia, who's been really your main home run guy this season. Wyatt Langford has done a nice job moving the line, and when he's not getting really, really bad calls from Angel Hernandez, he's able to reach base, has yet to be able to get that first home run, but like what I've been seeing out of him, Jared Walsh has been a little bit up and down, but all in all, this is a Rangers team that's going to be one of the best offenses in all of baseball. And the top of the Houston Astros lineup has been great. You've got Kyle Tucker, who's been able to give you about a 365 on base. You need Diaz more around a 355, but for Diaz, he has been able to wallop the ball this far. He's already been able to get three home runs. Jose Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, north of 4 on base, 3 plus home runs apiece. For those guys, it's about what you're able to get out of the bottom. Mauricio Dubon is starting to pick it up a little bit, but you've had Jose Abreu be oh so miserable for this bunch. Alex Bregman is having one of his just pended. Alex Bregman's slow starts. He's not doing a terrible job of reaching base, but no power from him whatsoever. John Singleton, guys like this, they have been a little bit up and down, so it does lead to a little bit of an interesting spot. I do think that both of these pitchers are going to be able to supply a relatively good start for Javier. He needs to lock it in a little bit with his command, and I do think that he's going to be able to do so. So here at a 9, looking at the under, so I might tell it at an 8.7, but with the Astros, I do think that the back half of the bullpen going to be able to get it done here. I do like the Astros on the money line to go along with this total under. 967, 968 on the betting board. The Baltimore Orioles are going to be playing against the Milwaukee Brewers. Colin Reyes is his hit parade to another start, and Corbin Burns is on the bump for the Baltimore Orioles. Burns and the Orioles are between minus 175 to minus 190 favorites, between plus 154 to plus 160. That number on the Brewer, 8 is the total, over and under, anywhere between minus 105 to minus 115. With the Orioles, I set them on the money line at a minus 169. If you're looking to lay a run and a half, you're going to be getting in that neighborhood of about a plus 115 to a plus 120. If we could get a plus 120 on that run line, that would be my buy point on Baltimore. I would need more like a plus 170 to be able to take a shot on Kyle Ray. Now, I will say this with Kyle Ray. He did have an ERA that was about a half a point better when he was away from home rather than when he was at home last season. So he is in a little bit more of his element. A lot of Brewers pitchers in general just have not performed well at Miller Park in recent years, but now you've got a guy in Corbin Burns that spent a lot of time with the Milwaukee Brewers, and this can go one of two ways. Because of his familiarity with the Milwaukee Brewers, he can go out there, completely dominate them, or he gets completely shelled. Typically, it's one or the other. It's very rare where you find a player going against his former team like this, and it's like, oh, he went five innings and gave up 2 to 3 runs. Typically, either they get banged around like a pinata, or they flat out dominate, but I've loved what I've seen out of Corbin Burns in a Baltimore Orioles uniform. 20 strikeouts to 2 walks through his first 2 starts. Has given up a little bit of the deep ball, but when you're giving up a home run to Mike Trout, that's a little bit different than giving up to Schlubby McSchlub. Now, for the Milwaukee Brewers, this offense is absolutely on fire. They have scored at least 7 runs in each of their last 5 games. They have scored 6-plus runs in, I believe, now all but one their last 7 games, so that has been tremendous. You've got Willy Adames, who's been moving the line much better than he did a season ago, as he, William Contreras, Rhys Hoskins, all have 3 home runs this season. Christian Yelich is finding MVP form once again, hitting above a 300, 5 home runs as far this season, and the Brewers, they have been just flat-out dominating, and they hit much better against righties and lefties. Your kryptonite is going up against lefties, so that is something to keep in mind. Jackson Chirillo, Sal Frelick, Bryce Turang, all these guys have been able to do a rock-solid job of being able to move the line. Trio has been a little bit up and down, but other two guys have been amazing. Meanwhile, you do have an Orioles lineup that they've done a nice job supplying the boom themselves. Ryan Mountcastle has been consistent at being able to get on base because of their overall depth. They do a nice job of platooning against righties and lefties, so they don't necessarily have one big giant forte or one big giant weakness. You've got Gunnar Henderson, Anthony Santander, along Jordan Westberg, who have all supplied 3 home runs thus far this season. For Santander, just a 230 on base, but you've had Adley Rutschman be relatively solid at being able to find a way on. You could use a little bit more out of Austin the Say's kid, Ramon Urias. These have been a pair of guys who have been rough, but Colton Cowser is on a nice stretch as far. And both of these teams have good bullpens. Even with the Baltimore Orioles losing Felix Bautista, and unfortunately they have hired on Craig Kimbrell. That's not great. You still have the likes of Jacob Webb, Danny Colom, Yennier Cano, Dylan Tate. I like these guys. And for the Brewers, Ebner Uribe has such good explosive stuff. And then you're able to combine that with Hobie Milner along with Elvis Piguero, Joel Piamps. This trio was very good last season. Hobie Milner had a little bit of a rough go of it towards the middle part of the season last year, but still had about a 1.82 ERA. Like all three of these guys had a sub 3.3 ERA. 8 seasons ago. So I do think that this is going to be a little bit of a better pitcher's duel than what we've seen earlier on during the series. I did somebody tell us 7.9. Looking at the under is things are probably not going to be overly warm in Baltimore, though. Weather's a little bit better than what it typically is this time of year, but I do think that the Orioles go out there, dominate this game. I am willing to lay up to a minus 168 on the money line. Like I said, with regards to the run line, I will be looking at a plus 120 or greater, and I'm seeing this as well with the Milwaukee Brewers. If you could get that run line more around about a minus 120 or so, that would be something that I'd be willing to dive in on. As if we can get like a minus 115, minus 120, I'd be looking to take a run half with the Brewers, as I do think that this is going to be a game that's going to be a little bit lower scoring, and as of right now, that's what I would be looking at. That Brewers at a minus 120, getting a run half to go along with this total under on 8. 969, 970 on the betting board. The Toronto Blue Jays, they play with the Colorado Rockies. Kyle Freeland is on the bump for Colorado, and Jose Barrios is on the bump for Toronto, and Toronto, pretty mundo favorites here. You're going to be getting them anywhere between minus 235 to minus 250. Between plus 203 to plus 210 is your number on Colorado. 8.5 is the total. Under is minus 115. The over is minus 105. And if you're looking to lay a run half for the Blue Jays, finding that mostly around minus 125. And I'd be willing to go up to a minus 130, laying a run and a half with the Blue Jays. I will say for Kyle Freeland, he's actually been better throughout his career when he's pitched away from him rather than when he has been at home, but I just have zero faith in Kyle Freeland whatsoever. Looked a bit better in his last start against the Arizona Diamondbacks, but still gave up 4 runs, 2 of which were earned in 5 innings, and thus far this season, this gentleman has been able to get a grand total of 32 outs, and he's allowed 21 runs. That is not good, to say the least, and it's not even because he's given up a ton of home runs. He's given up 3 home runs and 3 starts, but the command is not there. He's given up 5 walks per 9 innings. His velocity was up during the spring training months, but I mean, it hasn't reflected into anything good for him, and he goes against someone in Jose Barrios that throughout his career he's had an ERA that's a full point better when he starts at home rather than away from home. That goes all the way back to his time with the Minnesota Twins, and he has been dealing this year. The swing and miss stuff has not necessarily been as great as it has been in past years, but he's only given up about 2.5 walks per 9 innings. He's done a good job with his picks, Mitch, in general, and when it comes to the Blue Jays, the big question that you do have with this team is the hitting, because with the Blue Jays, if Pat Flaherty or Jr. give you 3 home runs, but he's hitting below the Mendoza line of 200, and you just look up and down the boulevard for this unit, Justin Turner has been amazing. He's hitting a 350, and we've noticed Isaiah Kinnear-Falefa and Kevon Biggio doing a solid job of being able to reach base, but other than Davis Schneider, everyone else on the roster hitting a 233 or worse. I think that Daniel Vogelback has a good on base, but he's like the only guy on the rest of the roster that has north of a 310 on base. You haven't necessarily gotten a ton of power out of these guys. I do think that guys like Bo Bichette and company are going to be able to pick it up, but it's been a bad state of affairs for them. Perhaps what will be able to get them online is facing off against a Rockies bullpen that was dead last in the big leagues last season. In terms of ERA, you've got favorite guys in Anthony Molina, Justin Lawrence with north of a 10 ERA. Right now, Victor Vodnik is your best reliever. Jake Bird is nothing to really write home about him for the Blue Jays. They are dealing with a pair of ailments in their bullpen as well. Jordan Romano, Eric Swanson being out there. But Chad Green is looking relatively solid. Tim Mason was one of the better relievers out there in baseball 8 seasons ago. And for the Colorado Rockies, they just don't hit the same way when they're away from home rather than when they're at home. At home last season, the Rockies were averaging about 5.35 runs per game, more like 3.65 away from home. And the batting average for the Rockies typically varies by 40 points between their home numbers and their road numbers. And you just need some of these guys like Michael Taglia, Nolan Jones, Chris Bryant to be able to pick it up. Brandon Rogers hitting at 222 or lower. Now, Ezekiel Tovar, along with Ryan McMahon, Charlie Blackman, these guys at the top have been relatively solid, but other than McMahon, not necessarily a ton of power for this team. You've been able to get a little bit out of Brenton Doyle as well, but I do think that Barrios is going to be able to put this offense on lockdown. I did set my total at 8.4. The Blue Jays have been fine with their pitching. Offense has left a little bit of something to be desired, and I do think that Freeland lends a little bit of a better start here as he got legitimately a tad unlucky to begin the season. So, going to be looking at the run line of the Blue Jays and the under. 971, 972 on the betting board. It is the Kansas City Royals on the road facing off against the New York Mets. Jose Buto is on the bump for the Mets, and Cole Reagans goes for the Royals. The Royals are between minus 118 to minus 126 favorites, plus 105 to plus 116, that number on the Mets. Total on scheme is 8, over is minus 115 to minus 110. The under is between minus 110 to a minus 105. At a plus 110 or higher, I'm willing to back Buto and company. For Cole Reagans, he has been absolutely awesome since coming over to the Kansas City Royals. His pitch mix is absolutely tremendous. He's done a nice job of being able to induce a whole bunch of swings and misses, and for Reagans, he's a dark horse candidate for Cy Young. I think that may be a little bit too much, a little bit too soon, but data back to when he became a starter for the Royals towards back half of last season, 11 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's got a 251 fielding independent to a 263 ERA, has been great at home, has been great on the road. There's no question about it. He is coming into his own, but Jose Buto, in the small amount of opportunities that he's gotten since the back half of the 2023 season, he hasn't been bad. First start of the season, gives up one run over the course of six innings, 3.38 ERA, 3.86 fielding independent, does need to work on the walks. He has been giving up since the start of the 2023 season, right around about 4.8, 4.9 walks per nine innings, but induces soft contact, gets about nine strikeouts per nine innings. I actually really like his upside, and I still do have a few question marks in terms of this Kansas City Royals lineup, one that has been one of the better ones of being able to pound the tar out of the ball. Thus far this season, you've been able to have Salvador Perez be able to supply 3+ home runs. He's done a very nice job of being able to move the line, hitting well above a 300. And then you've got past that Nelson Velasquez, who I am very high on. He's been able to supply 3+ home runs. He's done a nice job being able to get on base. But the bottom of the fold, Freddie Fermin, Hunter Renfroe, along with Garrett Hampson, guys like this, has a little bit of an issue. Mikel Garcia has been able to give you some bombs, but he's not necessarily hitting for average, while Bobby Witt Jr., certainly in the middle of the fold, has been great. And you saw that guy by the name of Pete Alonso for the Mets, who's up to 6 home runs this season. He has been tremendous. And for the Mets, they've been one of the more unlucky teams at the plate thus far this season. Francisco Lindor, got to feel like he's going to bust out a little bit more. He's hitting a .003. Like, his expected batting average is around a .250. That's going to be ticking upward. Brandon Nimmo, Jeff McNeil, these guys hitting below a .235. I think that they're going to be able to see some positivity as well. And with the Royals, I do think that we're going to find themselves in a spot where they're going to be blowing a lot of Cole Ragan's leads late in games, because this is one of the lesser bullpens out there in the big leagues. Will Smith, Chris Rain, these are guys that come over from the Texas Rangers. I have no faith in either of them. Now you've got Jordan Lyles coming out of the bullpen. James McArthur, this is not a great bullpen. And for the Mets, you still have Edwin Diaz at your disposal. Now, getting the ball to Edwin Diaz can be a little bit of an adventure, but that said, Adam Ottavino, Brooks Raley, they're not terrible setup men. Jake Diekman had a nice second lease on life last season with the Tampa Bay Rays. So I do think that Buto, being able to get plus money on him at home, that's a relatively good value there. I do think that both of these pitchers are going to be able to deliver a relatively good start. So it is a circumstance where I did set my total at 7.6 here at the 8. I'm going to be looking at the under. It's a very pitcher-friendly ballpark out there in New York. And getting plus 110 or higher, going to be looking at the Mets on the money line. 973, 974 on the betting board. It is the San Francisco Giants there on the road facing off against the Tampa Bay Rays. Blake Snell is going to be going for the Giants. It was looking before like we were going to get Tyler Alexander on the bump for the Tampa Bay Rays right now. That is what ESPN is projecting. But as of right now, this is a game that is presently off the board. The few books a little bit earlier on posted up the Giants as a minus 125 to a minus 130 favorite, plus 110 to plus 115. That number on the Rays total is 8. Under is minus 115, the over is minus 105, and we're projecting a little bit because with the Tampa Bay Rays, it's a dicey situation. Tyler Alexander, he was on the bereavement list, so it is unclear whether or not he is going to be back in time to be able to make this start, and there's a good possibility as well that Alexander is the pitcher of note in this one for the Rays, but they utilize an opener for him, so do keep that in mind. But that said, if we do get Snell versus Alexander, I would need at least a plus 118 to take a shot on the Rays. Wouldn't be willing to lay anything more than a minus 116 with the San Francisco Giants for the Rays. It's been a relatively up and down season in terms of the offense. Isak Paredes has been able to supply some good offense, but Randy Arozarena, Yandy Diaz at the top, both of these guys providing a sub 275 on place. Richie Palacios has honestly been relatively good in the middle of the fold, and Harold Ramirez is hitting a 278. His on base percentage also a 278. Meanwhile, for the San Francisco Giants, the offense has been very much all over the place. Matt Chapman was able to go deep yesterday along with Jorge Soler. Both of these guys have supplied power with 3 home runs. Both of these guys have been very inconsistent in terms of getting on base. So you've had Lamont Wade Jr. be very rock solid with a 478 on base. He's got functional power for the team. Nick Ahmed, Patrick Bailey, these guys at the bottom fold have honestly been able to do their part. Theriot Estrada, Mike Yastrzemski have been a roll of the dice, but San Francisco has always been known for their platooning splits. I think that they're going to be able to do a solid job of that moving forward, but the Giants have taken a little bit of fall off in terms of that bullpen as well. You still have Taylor and Tyler Rogers. I like what both of these guys bring to the table, and a long guy in Ryan Walker who might need to be used, because you can tell that Blake Snell was not in great form in his first start. Doesn't make it 4 innings. He still has a good swing and miss stuff, but because he got signed so late in the process, you can tell that he's a little bit rusty coming out of the gates. He allows 3 runs in 3 innings and a loss against the Washington Nationals, so do have to have some trepidation there. And if you do indeed Keegan Alexander. He's always been good at not giving up a lot of walks, but doesn't get a lot of swings and misses. He does give up quite a bit of the deep ball, and he's unlikely to be going a full game as well. He's most likely going to be giving you like four or so innings, and then from there you might give way to someone like a Kevin Kelly who's able to eat multiple innings, and then if you're able to get into those good bullpen pieces, Jason Adam, Colin Pouchet, Pete Fairbanks, these guys have been excellent. Sean Armstrong is also a candidate to be able to give you multiple innings. He's had a sub-3.5 ERA since coming over to the Rays as well, so I do think that Tampa Bay should be able to find a way to be able to persevere. If we can get a +118 or higher once this gets relisted, we'll be looking at the Rays on the money line, which I would probably expect in this sort of spot. And I did sell my total at 88.2. This has been a total that I've been seeing at 8, and if we do get that 8, we'll be looking at the over. 975, 976 on the bank board. The Cincinnati Reds, yes, we are in a Cincinnati. They're under the road, facing off against the Chicago White Sox. Mike Soroka is on the bump for the Sox. Graham Ashcraft goes for Cincinnati, and Cincinnati is a favorite between -155 to -166. Is anywhere between +140 to +148 is that number on the White Sox sign. Is the total under is -115 to -120. The over is anywhere between even and -105. And for the White Sox, needed at least a +146 to take a shot on them. I'm right now seeing a +146. That's my minimum buy point, and I'm going to be willing to ride with it, even though it is a White Sox team that is not in great form, to say the least. I know, shocker that I'm saying this, but I take a look at Graham Ashcraft. Very much a pitch of contact guy that doesn't get a lot of strikeouts and has had issues with his command throughout his career, and it does cause me to have a little bit of pause with him. Last season, a 4.76 ERA with a 5.06 fielding independent. Has not looked bad here in the first two starts of the season, but and that said, he's given up 9 runs at 11 and 2/3 innings. Only 7 of them were earned. He was hurt a little bit by his fielding here in the first few games, but I mean, it's not like he's necessarily doing the world's greatest job. And then you got Mike Soroka, who's the ultimate pitch of contact guy. The command hasn't been terrible with Mike Soroka, but he's went 14 and 2/3 innings, and he's given up 6 walks and has gotten 6 strikeouts. So you have to have your caution there with Soroka when he was with the Atlanta Braves prior to the injury issues. I mean, he was looking like he was going to be a tremendous starter moving forward, but that just has not been the case, and now he does have to face off against a Cincinnati Reds lineup that is solid. They're not amazing quite yet. You've got a lot of young guys that are going to have inconsistent series, but you've had a pair of guys in Spencer Sear along with Ellie De La Cruz who have both been able to supply 3+ home runs. Both of these guys hitting well north of a .310. Stuart Fairchild has done a good job moving the line, but you do need it from more of the guys in the middle. Guys like Jameer Candelario, Luke Maley, Santiago Espinal. You're able to throw in there Christian Encarnacion Strand. These are guys that are currently hitting below the nose line of 200. Jonathan India is not hitting for a lot of average, but he's actually giving you 400 on base and for the Chicago White Sox. If you looked at the lineup yesterday, one guy that saw an at-bat yesterday is right now hitting above a .214. That'd be Gavin Sheets. This is a White Sox team that they need to embrace trying to be able to draw some walks, because they were in the bottom of the fold last season in all baseball in terms of walks drawn on a per at-bat basis. They bring in someone in Kevin Pillar that might be able to help out with that a little bit. And Gavin Sheets has been halfway decent as well, but man, this is rough with Luis Robert, Tim Anderson out of the fold. I wish I could mention someone where it's like, oh, you might have a little bit of upside here, perhaps Paul DeJong, but that's not great to say the least for the Chicago White Sox. The bullpen, it has been rough as well. You've been able to get some relatively okay innings moving forward out of someone like a Jordan Leisure, who's been a nice upside guy for the team, but Tim Hill, Davey Garcia, these are guys that are not great. And if you do get Jared Schuster in a long roll, he honestly has not been too bad in that sort of a circumstance. So came over with Mike Soroka from the Atlanta Braves, and for the Cincinnati Reds, it's a very league average bullpen. Alexis Diaz is a very good closer, and then you've got guys that just hold down the fort. Buck Farmer, Fernando Cruz, Lucas Sims, these are guys that are able to do a solid job on that front, but I do think that the number has gone up a little bit too high. Graham Ashcraft has not been in great form. Also, you've had a guy, Mike Soroka, not be in great form as well. Here at the 9, I'm going to be looking at the under with the Chicago White Sox. This is a very, very sad lineup, and I do think that Mike Soroka eventually is going to find it, which is why I'm going to take a +146 or higher with the White Sox to go along with this under. 977, 978 on the bank board. The Oakland A's are going to be playing us to the Washington Nationals. Trevor Williams goes for the Nats, and Alex Wood is on the bump for the A's between -120 to -130 is that number on Oakland, and between +105 to +118, your number on Washington. 8.5 is the total. Over and under, both at -110. And with the A's, I'm willing to go up to a -132 on this money line. With Trevor Williams, he actually lent a really nice start last time out against the San Francisco Giants, but do still have a little bit of pause and trepidation with him. And you do have someone in Alex Wood that had his struggles the last few seasons with the San Francisco Giants. But I've noticed a lot of these guys that came over from San Francisco to the Oakland A's, they just had been able to have a nice little form in general. For Alex Wood, he needs to find that once again. He's been getting tattooed his first few starts of the season. He's legitimately been the worst pitcher for the Oakland A's thus far. Got banged around in his first start against the Cleveland Guardians. But last few starts against the Rangers and the Red Sox, 5 runs surrendered in 9 innings. I'm not going to call it amazing, but it's also not terrible considering the circumstances. Meanwhile, for Trevor Williams, very much a pitch-to-contact guy that last season posted up an ERA that was well north of 4. He did not give you a whole lot of swing and miss, and he posted up overall a fielding independent north of 5, but as far this season, has done a nice job of being able to keep the ball in the yard to this point. I do have my question marks with him being able to do it moving forward. It's not like his stuff has gotten a whole heck of a lot better or anything like that. Just feels like he's been a tad lucky on balls in play and has given up 5 walks in 10 and a third innings to begin the season. Not backed up by a great bullpen, which the Oakland A's have really done a nice job with regards to their bullpen pitching. Danny Jimenez has been rock solid. Mason Miller should be a starter for the team, but he's really nice in the ninth inning. Lucas Hirsch, these guys have been incredible for an Oakland A's team that is a top 10 team with regards to their bullpen. Meanwhile, the likes of Jordan Weems, Derek Vaugh have been solid in this bullpen. Tanner Rainey, he's still dealing with that injury. It feels like he has not gotten back to full form. And Kyle Finnegan is someone that I flat out do not trust. And for the Washington Nationals, they bring in quite a few power bats to be able to help them out in the offseason, but it's a little bit intermittent as to what you're going to be able to get out of the lineup this season. Eddie Rosario just has not necessarily been performing too well when he's been out there. He's been dealing with a little bit of ailment. You've had Joey Gallo be able to supply a trio of home runs, and CJ Abrams has been very good to begin the season as well. For Abrams, he's been able to go deep 3 times. He's one of the better base stealers that you're going to find in all of baseball, but the returning pieces from a season ago, you need a little bit more out of them. Joey Meneses, along with Kiber Ruiz, Lane Thomas, these are guys sitting below the Mendoza line of a 200, though Jesse Winker has been rock solid for this unit. Meanwhile, on the Oakland A's side, Brent Rooker's had a little bit of regression from what we saw a season ago, and why they optioned Esteri Ruiz down to the minor league level is something that I just do not understand whatsoever, but I do think that you're going to be able to get some nice offense moving forward out of a few of these pieces. Shea Langelaire is not going to hit for average, but 4 home runs as far this season. J.J. Blade A is a young guy along Zach Galoff that are going to be big-time keys for the team. Always do note that Oakland is not at the same at home rather than away from home, just because with this Oakland A's bunch, it is a team that plays in a very pitcher-friendly ballpark, but it's much more pitcher-friendly during the nighttime when you've got the marine layer out. This is going to be an afternoon game, and during the afternoon, I'm not going to say that it's great for hitters, but it's not awful for hitters, and I do think that both of these veteran pitchers are going to get banged around a little bit more. I do think that the A's bullpen is going to allow them to get the job done. Set the A's at a minus 132. I'd like them on the main line, and did somebody tell it at 8.8? At the 8.5, I do like the over, and we wrap things up with 979, 980 on the betting board. The Seattle Mariners play the Chicago Cubs. Javier Assad is on the bump for the Cubs, and Luis Castillo is on the bump for Seattle. Seattle is a favorite of anywhere between minus 130 to minus 142, plus 120 to plus 125. That number on the Cubs, 8 is the total. Under is minus 115. The over is minus 105. Also set the Mariners at a minus 142. So seeing about minus 130, minus 135 in a lot of spots, I'm going to be willing to take Seattle in this ordeal. For Luis Castillo, it's been a miserable start to the season for him. 4+ runs surrendered in all 3 starts against the Guardians. The Toronto Blue Jays and the Boston Red Sox, and his stuff in terms of swings and misses is there. 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. It looks like the overall velocity is not bad. He's just been missing location, and you've got the opposite with Javier Assad. Javier Assad last season when he was a starter, he was getting less than 6 strikeouts per 9 innings, but did a good job inducing weak contact. First 2 starts of the season, his strikeout numbers are up. 12 strikeouts over the course of 11 innings, and for Assad, he was being utilized as a little bit more of a long bullpen piece last season towards the beginning part of the season, so he's made the transition, and he's made it quite well, backed up by a lineup that doesn't necessarily have that one Death Star guy with Cody Bellinger currently struggling going into yesterday, hitting just a .180, but you've got a lot of guys that in general are giving you a good approach at the plate. Michael Busch, Christopher Morel, Ian App, C.A. Suzuki, all hitting at least a .275. Other than App, all these guys have been able to give you multiple homers. Nico Horner needs to do a better job with his average, but still giving you about a .373 on base, so he's finding a way on, as is Michael Tauchman. Meanwhile, for the Seattle Mariners, It's a case where this offense has just not been great to begin the season, but Dom Canzone has been able to give you some good power. He's been able to supply 3-plus home runs thus far this season. J.P. Crawford, Julio Rodriguez, Dylan Moore, Mitch Garver, these are guys hitting below a 200 along with Jorge Polanco, but Ty France, Mitch Haniger in the middle of the lineup, they've been able to do a solid job. And for Seattle, I do think that there's going to be some positivity moving forward in terms of the lineup. If you take a look at the Baseball Savant numbers in terms of their expected batting average versus their actual batting average, 207 sinks in. It's not like an expected batting average of 232 is lighting the world on fire, but at the same time, I do expect things to be able to improve for them a little bit moving forward, and I do like the Seattle Mariners bullpen. They just have a nice way of being able to pluck guys out of mediocrity and be able to turn them into good relievers. Gabe Spire, Taylor Cicado, Trent Thornton have all been good. You've got a nice closer in Andres Munoz, so even though Matt Brash is out of the fold, they still have plenty of bullpen pitching, and for the Cubs, it has been rough for them for the bullpen. Julian Merriweather being out of the fold does not help things out. I like their pickup of Hector Neris, as he and Ed Baralsley late in games are able to do a solid job. Yancy Almontes is never a guy that I've really trusted. And Mark Leiter Jr. does feel like he's a little bit hit or miss as well. I think that we're going to find a better form of Luis Castillo in this spot. So I did set the Seattle Mariners at a -142. I'm willing to ride with the money line. And I do think that the Cubs could be able to do a solid job of putting back the ball. And for Javier Assad, even though he's got a sub-2 ERA thus far this season, if you look at his numbers as a starter, his fielding independent more than a point higher than his ERA, I think he's doing for some regression. So I set my tell it at 8.1. I like the over, and I do like the Mariners on the money line. And that wraps things up for the Sunday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XMLion at TuneIn_41. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And a big thanks to Rob Donaldson for joining me in the last segment, coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season. That means I'm coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.